episode of The Mom Game is brought to you by our friends at Gateway GMC at LBJ and Jupiter. I know that buying a car can be stressful, but not at Gateway because their slogan is, Gateway's got it. And just what does that mean? Well, it means Gateway's got a wide selection of new GMCs and GM-certified used vehicles, all competitively priced. Gateway's got it. In these busy times, you want a car dealer who makes things easy and convenient. Well, guess what? Gateway's got it. When you log on to gatewaygmc.com, look for the Shop, Click, Drive button. This allows you to shop from the comfort of your home, and who doesn't want that? In fact, it's as easy as 1, 2, 3. 1, select your vehicle. 2, create your offer. 3, schedule your delivery. And on top of all this, Gateway GMC offers complimentary car washes for life. So, when you want a dealer who has it all, Gateway's got it. You can find them online at gatewaygmc.com or shop in person at LBJ and Jupiter. GMC, we are professional grade.
And our show also presented by our friends over at Golden Chick. Right now, things might be a little crazy in your household. You might have guests coming in town or you might be out of town listening to us. And the people get hangry, whether you're home or away from home. So make sure you go visit our friends over at Golden Chick. They can hook you up. There is something for everybody there on the Golden Chick menu. Something for the kids, something for the grandparents, the cousins. It is delicious. I personally have been attacking their chicken salad lately, which many people may not know about. But Golden Chick has something for everybody. And of course, don't forget about those spicy wicked wings or those zesty lemon pepper wings. Right now, you can get 6 wings for just $4.99. You can also order this online. And there is a couple of days left of the special that they're doing, giving back to the community when you order off of the churro menu at Golden Chick, 50 cents. Off of that order is going to go to a local elementary school to help them with all of the wonderful things that they are doing there with the kids in your community. Thank you so much, Golden Chick, for your continued support here on The Mom Game.
And welcome inside the Coppola Home Studios for episode 250 of The Mom Game. 250 episodes, Julie. We are not together because it is the week of Christmas, and shit's crazy. So we are in our homes. We still have our Coppola wine. I will not be drinking this just yet, but trust that it will be opened later today. I'm Emily Jones. She is Julie Dobbs. He is Danny Bayless. He's also with us. We're excited to be here. We're excited. It's Christmas week, and we have a lot to talk about. So I want to start with this little story about our friend Daniel here on the program, our producer. So I don't know if you know this, Danny, but we have an official spiritual advisor of the Mom Game. He is my pastor, Lance Marshall. He's awesome. And so yesterday we go to church and he's like, "Hey, Emily, how's it going?" I was like, "Good." And he said, "Man, I was really hoping I was going to get to sit in on the dumb zone or something." And he was talking about Paulus roofing for didn't really follow him. He's talking to a lot of parishioners. And so I just was kind of like, I said, "Well, you know, you can always come on the Mom Game anytime." And he said, "Only if Danny's there. I've never met Danny and I want to meet Danny." And I was like, "Okay, we're making this happen. We need an official visit from the official spiritual advisor of the Mom Game. You will love Lance Marshall. He's effing amazing." It is the only show when he came on that I don't think I ever cursed once. And he called me out on it, actually. Lance did.
He was like, "Be yourself, fool."
Yeah. So anyway, it was funny. But yeah, you've got a big fan in the form of Lance Marshall. I just thought I'd tell you that.
Maybe Lance wants to pop on when I'm here. Maybe my reputation precedes me so much that he thinks there's still a chance of conversion.
He can help you. He can help you with your spiritualness. But no, yes. Lance is great. He's super, like, he's not, that's why we go to church where we go to church, as we fell in love with him as a pastor. And he's so relatable. He's such a good dude. So anyway, we're glad
he's not preachy for a preacher. He's not preachy.
Nope. And so we're glad that you're with us, Danny, and that this happened for us in 2024 as we kind of start to look back, and we're going to be seeing hopefully a lot more of you here on the show in 2025. Cause we think you're cool like that.
You're very sweet. Both of you. How's your week been? Busy?
Good, crazy. I think we should go around the table and just kind of talk about what...
Around the horn. 60 seconds per person, Emily. Here we go. Start, go.
So at our house, we have every year we have this thing called Friendmas. And it's my really close friends and their husbands, and they come over and we have someone cook dinner for us. And so we don't have to do the work and basically just do dumb stuff and hang out. And we played a dumb like ring toss reindeer game, and we sang karaoke, or at least the girls did, and had a blast. And then the next day, Mike always has a party for his friends and clients, like some kind of whiskey party. I don't know. So I feel like for like literally from Thursday night to Sunday morning, it was just a big party. And so I kind of needed a minute to regroup on Sunday and then last night and today. But anyway, it's been fun. And that's what the holidays are for. You blow it out and have fun and go and blow and do stuff and see friends and hang out. And you don't have to worry about waking up for school in the morning and fixing lunches and breakfasts and all that kind of stuff. So it's been a great start to the holiday season so far. Time's up. Danny, you go.
Done with shopping. And I think tomorrow night will be the task of wrapping everything. Now, I grew up where, and it's so different. And I think this is a Southern thing, like growing up in Texas for the majority of my life is, and tell me if you guys were like this. So Christmas Eve was, we would exchange when there was kids, obviously, you would exchange the gifts from one another. Like if your grandparents got you something, you could open your gifts on Christmas Eve. And then Christmas morning, the kids woke up and that was relegated specifically for Santa. So you didn't open any presents on Christmas Day. It was 100% about the kids and just Santa. Now that Malcolm is here and has been for almost 4 years now, you know, you kind of have to take into consideration his mom's side of the family and now his stepdad's side of the family. How does all that work? And I don't care. I'm super compliant with whatever works. So I think we're doing blended family Christmas on Christmas Day, but I've got a boatload of wrapping to do tomorrow night. So it's going to be like down to the wire to get it all done.
Are you gift bag or paper?
No, I grew up with a mother who was could have been a professional gift wrapper. And as a matter of fact, I think in her time growing up, she worked in department stores, and that was probably one of her tasks as a young woman was wrapping presents. So I kind of learned how to do it at a young age, and I'm fairly proficient at it. I kind of pride myself in it for being a guy, you know?
Yeah.
Like people are like, oh my God, who wrapped this? And you're not gay? It's like, man, I know.
guys are known for the gift bags, and yeah. Guys and me are known for the gift bags.
Yeah, I don't gift bag unless, you know, it's just something that just won't fit in a box or you can't make it work, then I'll gift bag, or if it's like a last minute panic buy. But yeah. No, I actually kind of enjoy wrapping presents. It's kind of fun. Yeah,
kind of
so I'll be doing that all until the wee hours of the morning tomorrow night.
Good luck.
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
Okay, Julie.
First of all, I have on my, let me show you, because I teased this shirt last week.
Oh, yeah.
There it is.
What does it say? Festivus, festive.
Festive and feral.
Best festive, but feral. And feral. That's awesome.
Festive, but feral. Yes. That's kind of where we're at over here. We're festive, but feral. We are getting ready. We host at our house for Christmas because I bought my grandmother's house, and it's always been the hosting house, like forever. So we just kind of inherited the hosting when we bought the house, which I love. So we're getting ready to have company in town. My parents are already here. My brother and his wife and kids are coming. My aunt, uncle, cousins, other aunt and uncle. So they'll all be here on Christmas Eve. And then Christmas Eve, we're kind of like you, Danny. We open with all the family presents, all of that. And then Christmas Day is basically just Santa and the kids and all of that. And then Kelly's going to cook a prime rib. That's kind of our new thing on Christmas Day that he does. And then the 29th, we're going to gather again because my cousin's coming down from Spain. So we're going to do like a little fake Christmas again so she can be a part of it. And then we just recently randomly threw together a very last minute, quick, easy ski trip to Angel Fire, New Mexico. So we're going to go for like 3 days driving quick. My kids have never skied. So I think like a small place that's not too crazy expensive, not like buying the big giant lift tickets and getting on a plane and hoping for the best. It's like, this is kind of tiptoeing into it, I feel like. So,
okay,
anyway.
Hold on. Yeah. Are you putting them in ski school?
Yes. Day one is going to be ski school.
Yes. Highly recommend. Yes. Because it doesn't matter, even if, and I'm not a good skier, neither is my husband, but if there's a reason why they have ski school.
Yeah.
It's, first of all, so you don't lose your mind as a parent. And second of all, it's because you don't know what the fuck you're doing. Like, right. there is actually a way to teach this. So, yeah, ski school for the win. And it gives you some time to where they're not bitching about how cold it is and how much gear they're having to schlep around.
Yeah. It gets them through all, like, the tough part, you know, learning how to do everything. And then we can just go cruise around the mountain, assuming I still can. I used to ski all the time, and I don't really anymore. So I'm hoping I haven't lost it. And it's kind of like riding a bike. But we'll see. But that's kind of what is going around in our world. So it's festive but feral.
Yeah, festive but feral. Okay, we want to get into some sports here before we dive back into other social happenings.
Yeah.
Sound good? Okay. All right, let's do a little sports courts brought to us by our friends at Tylock George Eye Care, Julie.
Yes, I can't tell you how amazing this has been for me. I know Emily talks about it weekly, but for me, it's been life-changing. I think about it at least 5 times a day. So if you are tired of wearing glasses or contacts, just know that there's something for you over at Tylock George Eye Care. You can get custom lens replacement. You can get LASIK like I did. There are a lot of different things you can do. They are trusted ophthalmology experts over at Tylock George. You can see your world clearly from long distance and up close. No more blurry vision. It really is a beautiful world out there, and you might not even know until you get your eyes fixed, like me. Like, I just thought life was blurry, and turns out it's not. You can throw all of your glasses away. I'm still doing that when I come across them. I just chunk them. And it really is truly life-changing. And this is something I think a lot of people don't realize. They offer 24 months interest-free financing with approved credit. And you can also get a discount if you tell them that you heard about it from The Mom Game. We have an exclusive code as well, tylock.com/TMG. Give them a call or head to that website, tylock.com/TMG, and see what Tylock can do for you.
Yay, Tylock. Okay. Where do we want to start? Cowboys, they're out of the playoffs, but they're showing fight. The game was entertaining last night on, because we're, pull the curtain back, shooting on a Monday because of the Christmas holiday. So they played Sunday Night Football. I thought they were entertaining. They're fighting. I think they want Mike McCarthy to stick around. I don't know if it's going to happen, but I don't know what else is out there, honestly.
Yeah. And I saw some videos, I guess, of him and Jerry having like what looked like serious talks in the locker room after the game. But yeah, they were able to get a win over Baker Mayfield and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers 26-24 here right before Christmas. And the news came down earlier in the day that they were eliminated from the playoffs. So who the heck knows with this team? I mean, maybe it's when you have the pressure off. It's not like it was beautiful game by any means, but I guess it's always good for the morale and that kind of thing, and to show the fans, the coaches, Jerry, that they can dig in and get a W when they need to, want to try. I don't know.
Yeah, and I think that just shows like how low the bar has gotten for me, because they were getting blown out at such a regular clip early in the season that it was it wasn't even, you could turn it off at halftime and you wouldn't have missed anything. That like the fact that they're playing closer games, I guess that's me considering it entertaining. But yeah, they're showing fight. You're seeing some that, I mean, guys are playing for their next deal, whether it's with the Cowboys or somebody else. So still plenty to play for, obviously, but you just don't know when that, and if that apathy is going to set in and how big of a toll it's going to take. And it doesn't appear that it has so far with this team. So good on them. Good on Mike McCarthy. You know, but unless they do big shit in the offseason, it's going to be the same story next season. Because let's not forget when they had, you know, their starting quarterback that they paid a gazillion million dollars to, they were not good. They were 3-5. So there's still so many question marks surrounding this team. But at least they're playing out the string and it's somewhat, you know, entertaining. I wonder though, who are you paying attention to on Sundays now, or Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Sunday?
Every,
which seems when the NFL is playing now.
Every day, but yeah, Tuesday and Wednesday.
So So I'm paying attention to the Commanders because of Cliff Kingsbury. That's my dude. And I'm so thrilled for him and Dan Quinn for that matter, even though the Commanders are in the division. Definitely paying attention to the Lions because I think they're fun to watch. And then, of course, the Chiefs. So I think those are all. And then Buffalo, Josh Allen is just, God, I love that dude. So, I mean, I think I'm still interested enough, not nearly as much as I would be if the Cowboys were still in it, but it's still the NFL.
Yeah. There's no like appointment television for me anymore when it comes to football, but I like having it on. And yeah, I guess if there was an appointment team, it would be the Chiefs because obviously they're very good and fun to watch. And you get a Taylor sighting whenever you watch now, especially since the tour's over. But we were watching them the other day, and Ryder was watching. There's a video game version of, you know how there's all these alternative broadcasts?
Yeah.
There's a Madden alternative broadcast now. So I almost was like, I almost put something on social media because he was watching, he wanted to watch the Madden version of the game. And Ocho Cinco, or I guess he's back to Chad Johnson now, it said. Not, it didn't say, I don't know, whatever. He was doing the commentary. But it's so funny to me that video games like Madden were made to look like football games. But now we have to watch football games that look like video games because the video games got more popular than the football games.
Yeah. Well, and too, they're trying to appeal to that younger demographic,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Which is so, why they do like they did the Simpsons game and the, you know, Nickelodeon game and
yeah, and they've been broadcast or whatever. But it's funny, so you have like the video games that are made to look real, and now they're trying to make the real games look like video games. It's just like, so this little world that our kids are now growing up in where they're more into the actual video game than the actual football game, it kind of blows my mind a little bit. And I didn't realize that existed, but that was all during watching the Chiefs game. So that's the only, I guess, team that I'm like super into. But yeah, hopefully we just have a good rest of the season and playoffs and some good games.
Yeah. Okay. Speaking of playoffs, college football playoff got underway. All four home teams won in very big fashion. All the contrarians were like, see, we should have just done an 8-team playoff. I don't care. I was so excited about sitting on my ass and watching football all day on Saturday that I didn't even, I mean, I wish they would have been more entertaining. Texas and Clemson was probably the most entertaining, and that ended up being the most lopsided score, which is crazy. But I loved it. I loved the home atmospheres. I don't know. I just thought it was awesome. They weren't like highly competitive, but I think that those kinks will get worked out, and who's to say they wouldn't be next year or whatever. So the quarterfinals are set and those will get going. I think there's maybe one on New Year's Eve and then the rest are New Year's Day, but I love, love, love the college football playoff.
Yeah, it's super fun. It just seems like it's bringing in more people. It's just a fun, obvious setup that now you're rooting and you're watching and you're following a bracket and no idea really what's going to happen. And it'll be interesting to see how this next round goes. It looks like, yeah, on New Year's Eve, you've got Penn State now against Boise State, and that is the Fiesta Bowl. So that should be a good one. And then on New Year's Day is going to be the Longhorns once again. Oh my gosh. I can't believe they won. I can't believe it's just their fans are crazy. Like everyone in the world's coming out. Maybe they don't post about the Longhorns much, but now they are. Like I saw Jenna Bush talking all about it and all this stuff. It's so funny. But Texas is going to be playing Arizona State now in the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl. And then you have the Rose Bowl. That'll be Ohio State versus Oregon. And that's a number 8 seed versus a 1 seed. And then you're going to have Notre Dame against Georgia in the Sugar Bowl on the evening of New Year's Day. So let's see what else. Yeah, that's it, I believe.
Yeah, that's all. That's four games.
It's a ton of fun. And I think everybody will be watching. We're actually going to be skiing on New Year's or driving, I think, to Angel Fire New Year's Day. But I'm excited to listen on the radio and have something to kind of keep us entertained. But it's super fun.
Yeah, I'm loving the college football playoff. I mean, there's still tweaks that need to be done or whatever, but I think overall expanding was a great idea.
Yeah. Keep
so many more people. I mean, I don't have a dog in the fight, but I'm definitely still interested in everything that's going on. Okay, Mavs and Stars. I don't really know what's going on. Mavs are good. Stars were went 3-3.
You're a Mavs guy. You've been following them, right?
It's the one local team that I consistently watch every game, if at all possible. They have taken some time to gel. Klay is finally starting to look like the Klay Thompson that we remember as a splash brother in Golden State. And they are incredibly deep. They just had a home-home with the Clippers, and they got smushed in the first game. And it's damn near impossible to lose back-to-back home games against the same team when you have the rare occasion that those happen in the NBA. And the Mavericks took care of business in pretty decided fashion in the second game, just the night before last. And Luka was out for both. Kyrie was out for the first one, and he came back and had a nice game, and Klay was great. But, man, their bench, they're as deep as any team in the league, and they're incredibly fun to watch. They've got two athletic bigs that have that are equally contribute, but very different games with Danny Gafford and Lively. Lively is probably a little more he's raw, he's young. Obviously, I think it's his second year, but he's incredibly athletic, and their games are just so different. And it's awesome to have two centers that, unless one of them's injured, you're never without on the floor.
Yeah, because that was such a need for us for a while there.
Half the teams in this league don't have one center that is as good as either of them. And we have two of them that are always on the floor at all times as long as they're healthy. So I think it starts with Luka and Kyrie, but that cannot be overlooked.
Isn't it something they've been looking for since Tyson Chandler, really?
Yes, yeah. 100%. 100%.
God, I love Tyson Chandler. My gosh, I love that dude so much.
And Gafford is, people forget, they think of Gafford as a guy that's an old man, but I don't even think he's 25 yet. I think he's like 24 or 25, something like that. So they're both incredibly young. And Lively has, I think the sky's the limit on his upside. And Gafford just continues to get better and better. So they can compete with any team. They got pounded pretty good by Oklahoma City. They're clearly, right now, the eye test says that they're the best in the West, but the Mavs are not that far behind them. And as the season goes on, they continue to gel with the new guys that they have. Quentin Grimes, obviously, Klay. And teams do get better as the season progresses.
Yeah.
We've seen it with the Cowboys. They're a better team than they were than when Cooper took the reins. Hell, before Cooper took the reins of this thing, they have improved. Teams can get better. I fully see the Mavericks improving and improving and improving to where they are hitting the end of the season in a pretty good stride, barring any unforeseen, catastrophic injuries. But that's the main thing, is to get all of these guys healthy to where they have their full complement going into a consistent string of games. And we just haven't had it yet, because it's either been Luka, it's been Kyrie, it's been Maxi. I mean, they're still waiting on the Australian kid that I can't think of his name right now, but they're still, it's a matter of getting everybody healthy. And once they're healthy and have some a series of games to gel even more, they're going to be incredibly formidable in the West. And I'm telling you guys, and I've been telling you for weeks, don't sleep on them. If you have an opportunity to watch the Mavs,
I know.
I'm telling you, they're them and the Stars, obviously, best ticket in town. And just for the price of admission for Luka is worth it if he's playing every night. So
yeah,
it's time. It's time, ladies.
It is time.
Mav it up.
So how about this? Because they do have a Christmas Day game at 1:30. So we'll all be probably gathered eating and drinking. And that's a good thing to throw up on the TV and try to catch up. I'd say Christmas Day is a good time to kind of start locking in.
Yeah. And then, that also, that pisses me off at the NFL, though, that like Christmas Day is the NBA's thing.
I know.
Yeah.
And then but the NFL just can't help themselves. They've got to get in everywhere. And this will be like on Netflix. And it's like, okay, well, we saw what the last big thing on Netflix live, how that went with the Tyson fight. Like, I don't know, but I don't even know who's playing NFL-wise. But okay, I'm committing. I'm committing to finding the Mavs game on Christmas Day and watching it.
It says ABC.
You've got a Chiefs game. You have a Chiefs game on Christmas Day. I'm almost certain.
Seriously?
Yeah, yeah. Let me look at
the schedule. That's just so rude.
NFL, you're being greedy.
Yeah, you have Chiefs Steelers at noon, and then Ravens Texans at around 3:30. So
I mean, so greedy.
Yeah. Jeez, it really is. I know. So the Chiefs are 12:30. You said
noon.
Noon. Okay. Yeah. So the Mavs are 1:30. So it's just gonna be busy. And then you've got all the grumpy like aunts and grandmas. They're like, "Why are there all these sports? This is the holy day."
I know. We're just going to be just the four of us on Christmas Day until late. So I'm kind of excited about that.
Yeah.
Okay. And then the Stars are still doing okay. They're going through a little bit of a rough patch, I think, right?
Yeah. So I think the last time we shot, they had just beat Washington. And now they have lost a couple of games. They lost to Toronto in New York. And we'll play here today against the brand new NHL team, Utah. But they're fine. I mean, they're still in a pretty good spot in the standings. And I think they're going to be okay. It's just such a freaking long season. They're always going to have a couple little skids. The main thing with this team is to not let it keep going, because they have had a problem of being kind of streaky in the past. So if you start losing a couple, then all of a sudden it's like a tailspin. So I'd say after you lose a couple like they just have, this is when they need to make sure and get that win and kind of turn things around. But yeah, they're still in a good spot.
Some Rangers news. Heart boy Nathaniel Lowe was traded.
Mom game zone.
I know, mom game zone. Nate is such a good dude. Just got married to a lovely girl named Brenna, and I just love both of them. I love him. I love his demeanor. He was a very, very solid player for us his entire time here, and I think he was really underappreciated. I think a lot of people, you know, knocked him for stuff that really didn't really deserve to be knocked. You know, he won a gold glove. He won a silver slugger. I mean, you know, he was a very solid first baseman. I think that there's certain, you know, numbers that get tied to certain positions on the field. And I think Nate was a little bit of a victim of that as far as how much he was appreciated or how much he wasn't appreciated. But he's a great dude. I wish him nothing but the best. So he's headed, why can I not remember? Oh, Washington. We got a relief pitcher in return for him. We added Jake Berger. There's been some, Jock Peterson. That's a big deal. Jock Peterson, free agent signing, 2-year deal. That came down this week. So the Rangers are definitely continuing to move and shake. You know, obviously Nathan Eovaldi back. So they're showing that they're not just going to ride out the, you know, 23 world championship as long as they can.
That's good.
Yeah. So I think that's excited for them. It's exciting for the team. And it's good to see that the ownership group is still willing to spend and that Chris Young is still being very aggressive in the market as far as the free agent scene is concerned. So,
yeah,
moves being made for the Rangers. And it's part of it. I texted Nate and Brenna last night and I just was like, you know, cry face emoji. But they're, you know, it's part of this game and,
she's from here.
She is. She's a nurse here.
Now she's got to like move away from home. And that's always the part. Like, geez, I can't imagine.
So crazy. I can't imagine either. Like, oh, just pick up your whole entire life. And then especially like when you start having kids, like, and rip them out of school or do. And that's why you see a lot of times, older players, their wives will just stay put with their kids because they're already settled. And it's like, you just go do your thing for 6 months, come home when you can, we'll come to you when we can, but we're not going to uproot our entire lives and family. I think that's too, a lot of people don't realize all of that stuff. And
I know.
I mean, obviously baseball, it's the worst because it's a 6 month season. You're playing 162 games plus 6 weeks of spring training. I mean, it's just, it's brutal. It's a total grind. And, you know, everybody thinks like, oh, I'm being the wife of an MLB player must be so glamorous. And like, yeah, there are great things about it. But I've seen these women and how hard they have to work to keep their family, you know, moving and going and all that kind of stuff. And shit ain't easy.
Yeah, it's not. And that was that sad because he was the only one current Ranger, I think, that had like been on our show. And he was so great. And
he
fun.
Was awesome. Yeah.
He was. But yeah, it's part of the deal, I guess. And
he's
also
a trip.
Do we now have a Brock and a Jock?
No, Brock is not on our team anymore.
Brock's gone, so we just have a Jock.
We just have a Jock.
No Brock, just Jock.
Which one's the broier name?
I don't know.
I don't know many Jocks.
I don't know any Jocks. I know John Jock Taylor. It's different, I think.
There was Jock Ewing. He was the patriarch on Dallas.
There is zero chance. There is zero chance Julie knows who he is, Danny. That's old people talk right there. When you bring up the Ewings and Dallas.
Yeah, I know that the Ewings were a thing on Dallas, but I don't know Jock.
You know,
I also
the patriarch.
Feel like naming your kid Jock is like, what if he's not good at sports? That's so embarrassing.
How's it spelled? Is it spelled the French way or J-O-C?
J-O-C.
Just like Jock. Like, hey, he's going to be a jock from straight out of the womb.
Well, I thought Jock, well, it's like naming your kid like King.
Yeah.
You know?
Which is also
that sounds like something
bad.
LeBron would do.
Well, I mean, LeBron gave him, didn't he crown himself King James?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, he's not afraid. Why waste that nickname on my kids when I can give it to myself? Okay, we got to keep moving because we got a lot to talk about before we got to get out of here. What's on your feed? I know you had put some stuff in here brought to us by our friends at Audrey Dolan's Media. We love Audrey Dolan's Media. You probably have noticed that our social media looks a little bit better and more polished than it used to. That is because Audrey Dolan's Media has taken us under their wing and really showed us how to do some things and done a lot of things for us and helped us remove those types of things off of our plate so we can focus on bringing you kick-ass shows like this. And, you know, what we love about Audrey is how invested she is in us. We recently had a big presentation with the client. We dropped it on her like 48 hours in advance. She helped us come up with a great plan of how we can grow and how this partner can be a part of it. We'll have more on that coming in the new year. But they just go above and beyond. They do all the little things and they do all the big things. And I think what we love most, like I said, is just that emotional investment in us. So if you are looking to grow your business, your brand, Audrey Dolan's Media is the place to go. She knows what she's doing. She has a team of people who know what they're doing and they can really help you, you know, broaden your horizons for expanding your place in this market, wherever that may be. So reach out to Audrey Dolan's at audreydolans.com. She's fantastic. You can follow her on Instagram at Audrey Dolan's Media. I think that's her handle, Audrey Dolan's Media. Just search up Audrey Dolan's Media and you'll find all that you need to know. She's on all the platforms. Great stuff, great mind. And we love having her as part of the mom game. Okay, you have Blake Lively on here. And I've been starting to see like some weird rumblings about Blake Lively going on. And I think she's adorable. She's really good friends with Taylor Swift, correct?
Yeah.
And she married to Ryan Gosling.
Ryan Gosling's a different human.
Ryan Gosling is not Ryan Reynolds. Okay, so Ryan Reynolds.
They're both Canadians.
Okay. Ryan Reynolds is in certain movies that I know I like. Uh-huh. I just can't remember them.
Way to narrow it down.
Thank you. Wasn't
certain movies.
What a great overview.
Oh, thank you.
Movies that I know that I like.
Please follow me for more current events and entertainment news. But Blake Lively was in that show, Nobody Wants This, which I really loved, right? No, she was in the dirty show, It Ends With Us.
Yeah, well, It Ends With Us is the movie that is kind of in the middle of all
and
of
it. And it's not dirty. I thought.
Wait, did you see It Ends With Us?
I did. And can I just tell you, I thought it was going to be dirtier.
Were you sad?
Well, I mean, I just wasn't. I was thinking like 50 Shades of Grey.
Oh.
Like, I thought it was going to go there. And I was like, so this is it?
Like, oh, you thought it was like that. But it's like domestic abuse stuff.
Right. Yes, I did.
You thought that was going to all like be sexual?
No, I didn't know. Oh my gosh. Wait. I didn't know there was any sort of hints of domestic abuse in It Ends With Us. I thought this was purely like a smut novel made into a movie.
Why did you think that?
Because
that's just what you were hopeful for?
Maybe. I don't know.
I mean, I don't know. But then I was like,
you're in the theater the whole time. You're like, F this, man.
So, well, no, I mean, watching
it.
No, I didn't go to a theater. But I was like, yeah. But then at the end, I was like, well, gosh, I have a problem. Like, this is like they're tackling like a serious issue. And here I am thinking like, this is just going to be pretty people making out. I don't know. I don't know.
Okay.
That's just what I thought.
Okay. I didn't know it was even out at home yet.
It is.
Okay.
I think I had to pay for it. But yeah. it was very impactful in that regard. Like it when once I got the real moral of the story, and then I felt like a terrible slutty human. Like, I don't know. I was like, what's wrong with me?
Because you were disappointed that there wasn't more sex.
Let's be clear. I wasn't disappointed. That's not what I was expecting.
Uh-huh.
I was expecting like a light.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Not like this heavy message. I was like, well,
yeah,
damn,
but 50 Shades of Grey isn't light.
Well,
but yes, I see what you're saying a little bit. I feel like you're a little
depends on what you
here.
Consider
you're kind of digging a bit of a hole and trying to get out of it. But
I'm not digging. I will live in this hole. Everyone knows who I am and what everyone knows I have this in me, like that I think weird things.
Yeah.
So yeah, it just was unexpected.
I the unexpected part I can see. But when you referenced that you thought it'd be like 50 Shades of Grey, that's where I'm like, wait, what? But unexpected, yes, because I'm with you. Like, I thought it was, and I haven't seen it, but I thought it was just like a rom-com, basically, based on like the previews and the marketing, I guess, which is a little bit of the problem where all of this started. But yeah, it's a very, I guess, serious movie about like domestic violence. And I think the part of the reason they wanted to make it is because this Justin Baldoni guy, like, this is something that's really important to him. And there's all these underlying like messages and themes and whatever, like, and then, you know, at the end or in a lot of the promos, it's like, if you find yourself in a situation, do this, do that, you know? So, but yeah, the movie is what spearheaded like all of this crazy drama, which is why this is on what's on your feed this week, is because Blake Lively is all over my feed this week and probably yours too. But it's just kind of crazy what all is going down. And I don't have like a full all-encompassing grasp of it yet because there's a whole lot of layers. But remember when the movie was being promoted and Blake Lively was kind of going around and she was playing it up to be a little bit more of this lighthearted film. And she was like posting, you know, pictures about like all the flowers. She was really leaning into, I guess, the flowers. She's a florist or something. And like, and, you know, wearing flowery dresses and saying, making all these comments about just these lighthearted kind of themes with the show or the movie. And she got a lot of heat for this because of the very, like the depth of the layers of this movie and the serious tone of it that people said she was just kind of ignoring. She also like released her hair care line during the promo of it. So she's like posting on her Instagram all about, you know, her hair. And so people are just saying like, girl, like you're in this movie that could change a lot of people's lives. And instead of leaning into that and like talking about the serious tone and nature of it, you're over here promoting your hair care line and wearing flowers and talking about, you know, all this, like keeping it really light. And she started to get a lot of shit for that. She was also like kind of mean to one or two of the people, the interviewers on the press tour or whatever. So like all of those things kind of paired together basically turned into this like really bad press for Blake Lively, who is generally beloved or had been. Ryan Reynolds is as well. Her husband, they have kids, I think like four now. She's, like you said, besties with Taylor. She's got a whole lot of fans. She was on the Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants back a long time ago. So even like the younger generation people like me, if I'm a younger generation, I'm not, but you know what I mean? The Sisterhood, I'm around her age. And that was a huge movie back then. So she has a ton of fans. And this was one of the first like really bad, some of the first bad press that she's gotten. And it was really bad. And a lot of people were on this guy's side, the director slash lead, male lead in the movie, Justin Baldoni, saying, you know, like Blake's not promoting the movie like he wanted her to promote. And he like there was some rumors of a rift between them going on. And what has happened, because that all sort of died down. But now this week, in the past few days, it's come out that she is going to be suing him. And that's why she is in the news right now. And she's suing him and the studio and accusing them of harassment and a smear campaign that they put together, a smear campaign against Blake. So, like, apparently all things started coming to a head while they were shooting. They knew that when they were doing all the promo, it was going to be difficult because they didn't really get along and all this stuff had happened while shooting, but they were trying their best to, I guess, get through the press junkets or whatever. And they, Justin Baldoni and his team, apparently, Blake saying, caused all of this bad press. There was a smear campaign. And apparently when he was texting with the studio about it, he said, do something similar to what happened to Hailey Bieber. Because remember, Hailey Bieber was hated by a lot of people because of Selena Gomez, all that. So Blake is now bringing all of this to light and saying that they basically planned this smear campaign against her. There was harassment. She also put out into the open. This was on January 4th. There was a big meeting that was attended by both of them and people from the studio kind of talking through all of this. And they discussed inappropriate conduct that Blake Lively experienced and the cast and crew experienced. Now, the author of the book, Colleen Hoover, the author of It Ends With Us, is coming out and saying she stands with Blake. A lot of other people that were kind of close to this situation are saying they stand with Blake. And it's big. It's a lot. To see a big Hollywood celebrity suing a director of a movie, you don't see that very often. And I think in Blake's case, it's not about money, but it's more this is BS. I now have lost, a lot of my fans, a lot of people who believed in me, who thought I was a certain kind of person. And now that's taken a tailspin because of this guy. And I guess there was a lot of misconduct, a lot of stuff on the set that made her uncomfortable. And I'm kind of proud, I guess, that she's doing this, because it's easy to just, especially when you're that famous and you have that much money and your mom, it's probably easy to just say whatever, I'm going to let this try to wash away and just keep on living my life. But she kind of is putting her foot down here. And she also is releasing a list of agreed upon demands that she had to make against him and his team. And this is kind of crazy, him. So these are the things that she was saying she needed them to comply with to keep doing this movie, because this is how bad it got. No more showing nude videos of women, including the producer's wife, to Lively and or her employees. No more mention of Baldoni's or Heath's previous pornography addiction. So apparently he would talk about his own pornography addiction to her and other crew members while they were shooting. No more descriptions of their own genitalia to Blake Lively. No more adding of sex scenes, oral sex, or on-camera climaxing by Lively outside of the scope of the script that she approved when signing onto the project. So when you hear that, you're holy crap. All that was going down while they were shooting. So
it sounds like they were expecting the same kind of movie I was expecting.
As he's going, he's as they're directing it, as they're shooting, he's adding in all these types of scenes that,
yeah, that's weird.
It sounds like the preemptive rules of conduct that Emily sent me before I started on this show.
No more talking about your pornography addiction, uh-huh. Danny.
No more descriptions of your nether regions.
Keep in
please.
Mind, I never signed that document.
Oh, that explains a lot.
It's not good.
How you've been sneaking all this crap through.
Well, I think, yeah. I mean, yeah. It just, like I said, I just was expecting a different type of movie, and I just wasn't ready. I just wasn't ready for something heavy like that, and it was heavy. And I think it was a very powerful message. But also, too, I think that this is just reason number 858 why you don't want to be too famous. You don't want to be just so famous. I just feel like it's especially in this day and age, it's just becomes, it becomes a no-win situation.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter how beloved you are, someone's going to come after you. Someone's going to criticize you. Someone's going to turn it against you. I mean, it's just it must be so exhausting for so many people to be so invested in everything. And then also invested in, tearing you down and shit like that. God, that would suck.
I forget who this headline was. I saw a headline this past week, and the actress, I didn't really know her name or who she was. I wasn't that familiar, but the headline was something like, looking back at my adult life, like my best days were the days that I spent with my kids. My worst days were when I was like out promoting a movie or out on set. And just goes back to the conversation we had last weekend. It's like when you become a parent and your perspective changes and stuff, even if you're a superstar Hollywood actress making all kinds of money, it's not worth it sometimes once you do experience the other things that life has to offer, I guess, which is family. And I think Blake's at that point too in her life, and that's why she's probably like, F this, I'm putting my foot down.
Yeah, and it's
interesting
now,
to see how it unfolds.
So much more attention and so many more outlets, and oof, it's just, I'm really glad to be old and not famous. You know, it just is, ugh.
That's probably,
it seems exhausting.
It's probably good then that you're not going to get so super famous, Emily.
I know. I think my ship has sailed on the whole super famous thing.
I don't know. Maybe we need to talk about your job life and stuff after you talk to us about dogs here on the news desk.
Yes. Okay.
Are you going to get really, 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 really famous? Do you have big career news? You're going MLB Network?
I'm not going to get really famous. Oh. But that is in our TMG news desk, my updated career news, and it is brought to us by Estill Dog Psychology. My dogs have been with Robbie for now a little over a week, or it's 1 week today, and they're killing it. My dogs are crazy. They're boxers, and I just need them to be a little more calm and listen to me. I realize they're going to be hyper. They're boxers. It's in their breed, but I need them to be a little bit more
obedient.
Yes, thank you very much for that. And he's so good about it. Like it's not just like I'm gonna put a shock collar on him and shock him if they don't do what I say, and then I'll give him a treat if they do. Like he really has put time and knowledge into this as far as like how to approach each different dog's personality and how they interact and how my dogs Izzy and Gallo interact together and separately and all that kind of stuff. So he's really going for connection over correction, both with him and the dog's training, but also with when they come back home to us. It's a very educational approach. It's a holistic approach. He wants to empower dog owners. He wants to empower us. What he says is we are training humans one dog at a time. And so he's figured out how to deal with dogs and navigate situations and make them be, more of an easy part of your life. Cause sometimes we love our dogs so much, but they're kind of, it's like, oh my gosh, and now I got to deal with this and I got to deal with that.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, he really wants to help those things coexist in a way to where it's a pleasant experience for everyone. So anyway, I'm super excited about it. In another week, we'll go and visit us as an entire family. We'll go visit the dogs. He'll kind of show us their progress, give us some homework to do, and then they'll stay another 2 weeks. So he's just been great. He'll post videos every once in a while of, you know, my dogs just like chilling out. I'm like, my dogs don't just chill out. Like if somebody walks by the front door, they launch themselves onto it and then continue to bark until they're out of their sight. So anyway, check him out. I've already referred a couple people to him and they've loved him too. Estill Dog Psychology. You can find him on Instagram or go to estilldogpsychology.com. That's E-S-T-I-L-L. So I'll keep you posted. And after my dogs come home, I want to have him on our show to talk about, you know, kind of his approach to things and, you know, and what he experienced with my crazy ass dog. So thank you to Robbie at Estill Dog Psychology for helping me with my little babies.
Yay. I can't wait for y'all to see them soon.
I know. I miss them. It's so quiet. Like, and it's easier, right? When you don't have two little fur babies to take care of, but it also sucks. It's boring. I mean, just like it's easier without kids, but it's no
fun. But then you miss them. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Okay. So I teased this last week that I would tell you about my career update. Always get questions in the off season because I sign 1 year contracts, right? Year to year with the Rangers. It's been that way ever since I left Fox Sports Southwest in 2013. And so every year we talk about it as a family. I talk about it with the Rangers, blah, 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 all that kind of stuff. Well, with the changing environment of the television landscape and the broadcast rights and all that kind of stuff, the Rangers will not be on Bally's anymore. They're doing their own thing. as far as trying to figure that formula out of how they're going to get the Rangers games to their fans. That still has not been announced, nor am I privy to that information, so I don't know that. But with that, this kind of transition, they're wanting more consistency in my role. And it's a role that I've had for a very long time. And so it will be different for me, but I will not be the primary dugout reporter for the Rangers moving forward. I will be the secondary kind of backup fill-in person. They are looking for someone, they want, you know, someone to do the vast majority of the games. I mean, we're talking like 130 games. So yeah, there's 162 games in a season. You anticipate that 10 to 12 will be picked up nationally, exclusively. So that knocks you down to about 150. 130 is just, I mean, the most I've ever done was 115. And I did that when Hattie was a newborn and Henry was two. That was my first season. That was the most I'd ever done. I kept thinking, like I've told you guys this a million times, I kept thinking it's just going to get easier as they get older. It's completely the opposite. And I tell women this all the time when they ask about kids and all that kind of stuff. I'm like, it gets harder the older they get because they are doing more. They're involved. They want you to be there. They can communicate that they want you to be there. It just, for me at least, and I feel like it's that the same way with a lot of working moms, it's harder as they get older. I don't have 130 games in me at 47 years old with a 13 and 11 year old and, you know, trying to stay married to my husband. At that point it was like, would you be willing to do, you know, 20 games and, in that range. And so, you know, it was weird because I just was like, I only did 65 last year, but it's still a lot. And yeah, it just was different. And so then I had these whole like conversations, and I talked to a lot of people I'm really close to in the organization that are still there and that aren't there anymore. And, you know, just had long conversations with my girlfriends and with Mike and, you know, am I going to be okay with this? Like, it's a very big change for me, or should I just, you know, kind of exit stage left and let someone else do this and get out of the way. But I really feel good about this setup. First and foremost, I want to be as supportive as I possibly can for whoever gets this job. I think it's really important for me professionally, but I also too personally. Like I care about the organization. I have for a very, very long time. I am so incredibly grateful for the experiences that it has afforded me. And so I feel like it is the right thing to do to completely, you know, go all in on this person and support them in every way that I can. Now, if they hire a jackass, I'm out. But I am prepared now to kind of, you know, take a step back and a big step back and kind of let someone else this be their thing. And so it will be an adjustment for me. It is a little different and it feels a little weird, but I'm excited about it. And I'm 47. I can't keep doing it at the rate that I was doing it. And it's like we talked about, Julie, last week. Like there are things 20 years ago, you know, 15 years ago, completely different story. Sign me up. Yes, I'm in for 130. But now it's like, no, this is my career is so much on the back burner as far as my list of priorities. I want to be successful. I want to provide for my family. But like, you know, me being on television more or whatever, doing more games or needing some sort of like status that comes with that, I don't need it at all. There are so many things that matter more to me. And, you know, like I said, if you would have told me that, you know, even 10 years ago, I mean, I would have been like, no, I'm head down, keep climbing, got to reach these goals. And I'm just, I don't find myself needing to climb that ladder anymore as far as this industry is concerned. And so it's a strange feeling, but I'm excited about it. I'm excited about having more time to do other things and focus on other things. I also hoping I'm kind of taking a step back before I, you know, lose my fastball completely in terms of how I do my job. So that's kind of where I am. I don't know what they're, you know, when they hope to hire someone. I think they want to get that done pretty, you know, pretty soon, mm-hmm. so they can get someone in here and get them acclimated. So anyway, that's the news. I will be back, but it's just not in, not in as big a bigger role as it has been in the past. But I, you know, like I said, I love the organization. I want to continue to be a part of it. And I am grateful for all of the experiences and opportunities that it has afforded me to this point in my career. And yeah. that will never change.
Wow. Well, it is really big news for you. I know. And I'm glad now that you kind of talk about it in the way that you just did. Like, I'm glad you're still going to be with them yeah. or, you know, some capacity, and that you can kind of slowly, I guess, move forward into the next phase of your career in your life, but not so abruptly.
Sure.
And so I think that will help you. But yeah, it's going to be a big deal. People are going to miss you. People are going to freak out.
Well, I don't think, I hope not. I don't
think
so. Fans
are going to freak out. I mean, well, and I'm glad you're still there. Not in a bad way freak out. Yeah. You know, not like go riot or, you know, tear down the fences out at Globe Life Field, but like,
right, here's the deal,
it's
though,
it's gonna be like, different. You're a huge as we've talked about, you're such a huge part of that organization, and even the people they were starting to get to maybe know and love, like in this very late phase of Rangers fandom, like say a Nate Lowe, like Nathaniel Lowe, like he's gone, you're that person, right? We've talked about this, so I think it's going to be shocking a little bit for a lot of people, but I think that personally for you, just knowing you and as your good friend, like I think this will be a good move for you and a good kind of transition into that next phase.
You're sweet, Julie. But like, let's keep in mind, like, I mean, everybody is replaceable. Like Adrian Beltre, first ballot Hall of Famer. Like this, it's part of this game. I mean, I just feel lucky that I've been able to stick around for as long as I have. But like when I go there, everyone is replaceable. You know, Tom Grieve, I still miss Tom Grieve, but the games keep getting played. And someone's going to keep calling them, you know, so it's not like, oh, my gosh, well, then obviously Major League Baseball is going to shut down and maybe the Rangers will, you know, cease to exist. Like, it just doesn't happen that way.
Yeah.
So, but I see what you're saying. I mean, it's very sweet of what you're saying is what I'm. But
yes, the games won't stop.
They're
going to change a lot. The feel of watching a game without you on it is going to feel a lot different. The games will continue. You are right.
They will. Good news, the Rangers are going to continue to play baseball in 2025.
And watch, their ratings are going to spike for those 20.
Appointment TV. Like, let me get your schedule, girl.
Yeah.
As a fan, Em, I have a couple of questions.
Yeah.
There you go.
Because of your, you know, seniority and how, maybe not seniority, but your tenure, as long as you've been doing it, were you in a position to kind of, even though you're scaling back, they love you, were you in a position to kind of detail what your year looks like? Number one, will you be traveling at all with the team, or will you be exclusively doing home games, or is that even discussed yet?
So I don't anticipate traveling much, if at all. And to be honest, Danny, I feel like it would be a giant B move of me if I was like, okay, well, here's the 20 I'd like to do, when somebody else is being charged with doing 130. Like, I just don't think that's a reasonable request. And if the roles were reversed, I wouldn't appreciate that at all. So no, but there are a few things that, like my niece's graduation, we already have a family vacation in the summer booked, like a couple of things that I have made, you know, let people know. Yes, but no, it's not like I'm going to pick and choose this and this and this and this. You know, if I'm just doing, I mean, I've worked 17 games in just April last year. And now you're talking about doing 20 for the entire season. Like, I can make this work. And I think it's just, if I'm going to be respectful of and supportive of whoever is coming in to do this job full time, basically, that's on me to, you know, be respectful of that and of their time and of their commitments and of their workload.
It also kind of depends on the person that they end up hiring, or persons. I mean, might use two. I don't know.
No, that's the whole point. They want one. Yep. That's their whole point.
It also kind of depends on how fans' feedback responds to them. You better hope that they're loved, because I could see a situation that when, you know, they get to, if the Rangers make the playoffs this year, and it's possible, You know, it's like, hey, Emily, we're going to need you to work the bulk of the playoff games because fans really don't like Bill.
Yeah. and I think
right?
Yeah.
Or Bill could get pregnant.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we'll see what happens, but I know they're thinking about all those things that they really want someone just in a very, very consistent role. And like, and I have friends doing that, you know, in this role, like Julia Morales works a shit ton of games for the Astros. I mean, a lot, like she's up in that number. Sophia Minert with the Brewers. You know, there's a lot, Erica Weston with the Angels. I mean, there's a ton of them that do. And that's what the Rangers are looking for. And I get it. And I understand it. And it's the timing is good. The timing is right. And the fact that I'll still be able to be around, you know, and do some special events, some emceeing and different things like that. I'll still be able to be involved in different things like that. So anyway, yeah, we'll see. It'll be a little bit of an adjustment, but yeah. But I'm excited about it.
It's like when Luca joined the Mavs and Dirk was still there. You're the Dirk, and you're going to be training the new young rookie. And for the rest of that rookie's career, he's going to talk about that one season when Dirk was still there.
Dirk is probably dying right now. Like, please do not compare me to Emily and her Rangers reporting gig.
Let me tell you something. Luca didn't listen to any of that stuff. And anything that he says publicly is all just to help bolster the narrative. He's looking at Dirk going, whatever, old man. I got this. Trust
Get off
me.
The court. Yeah. This is my floor now.
No,
well, that's big news. And I'm sure the TMG audience appreciates you sharing it with them. And
kinda, I haven't really talked publicly about it. So
a heartfelt
here it is.
Update from Emily on her career.
Yeah.
And I think,
but you can still find me here every week. So see, you're in luck.
Yay.
You're in luck.
Yes.
Okay. We got to get running. I'm gonna let you do TMG happenings.
Yeah.
And then I got to go because I have to go to the bathroom.
You run out, you go pee, and Danny and I will wrap up.
Okay. And then next week is best of. So excited. Best of 2024. It's going to be awesome. Yeah. So excited. Our last time for until 2025. So love you guys.
You know,
love
you,
love you too.
What?
You know, when you leave, we're going to claim that you had really bad diarrhea. Yeah.
No diarrhea here. Uh-huh, just a really small bladder.
So much diarrhea.
Anybody who's listened to our show knows she does have a small bladder. Give your early mom game out.
Okay. Love you. Mom game out. Love you guys.
Okay. Alrighty, let's wrap things up here with TMG Happenings, brought to us by our friends over at the North Texas Food Bank. Right now, especially around the holidays, you're probably gathering with your friends, your family, and you're eating a whole lot of food and filling your belly and watching football, watching basketball, all the things. And North Texas Food Bank just wants to remind you that there are plenty of people that are not quite as lucky as we are, and they're here to help, and we're here to help here on the Mom Game. In fact, 1 in 5 North Texas children are facing hunger, or more than 286,000 kids, and that's just right here in North Texas. And thanks to the Beaumont Foundation of America and Salmon's Enterprises, right now you can double the difference if you donate for your neighbors. Your gift is going to go 2 times as far. Every dollar provides access to 6 nourishing meals. So $1 can get 6 meals, which is amazing. I think we all probably have $1 or $5 or $10 or $50 that you can spare, and just think about how many meals you will be helping to provide with North Texas Food Bank. Stand with us and help support. This is very important to North Texas Food Bank, very important to us here on the Mom Game. And the link is ntfb.org/themomgame. This is going on through December 31st. They do have a goal of 50 million meals that they are trying to help out to children, families here in North Texas. Another quick thing from North Texas Food Bank is they do have a big event coming up, which is going to be on February 27th, and the tickets are for sale. The Mom Game has a special link to purchase your tickets. Go check out our social media pages in our bio. You can find that link to purchase. This is their Empty Bowls event, which is going to be so much fun. It's going to be on Thursday, February 27th. There's going to be a bunch of food from different
chefs from all around North Texas, and you're going to fill your bowls and give money back and raise money for North Texas Food Bank. I will be there. Emily, we're hoping, can be there too. It's going to be a lot of fun. Thank you to North Texas Food Bank. And that is pretty much what we have going on here for TMG Happenings. One other thing is we will have a couple of fun remotes coming up here, I think, in the near future. So stay tuned for that, because we're going to be out and about, out on the scene. And then, of course, pay attention and follow our friends over at the Dumb Zone, too, and the fun remotes and things that they have. They always have a lot going on out in the community. I think we're working on a couple coming up here in the next month or two. And it's just fun to go see these shows live and in person. The Mom Game joining the fun as well here in the next month. So that's it for TMG Happenings. Danny, any notes of wisdom for the people as they leave for the holidays? I know you're getting ready for a fun blended holiday. It's a lot for a lot of people, but.
Notes of wisdom. Gosh, I don't know. The best thing I can offer is hopefully you got all of your shopping done. I think that we are now at the point where, unless you find the magical item on Amazon and can get it delivered tomorrow,
yeah,
you're pretty much out of luck on that regard. So if you need some last minute Christmas items, you're going to have to get out and venture. And I got a text from Malcolm's mom this morning that she and he were at North Park at like 9 o'clock.
Oh, I bet that is crazy.
Yeah. And I texted and we were kind of conversing a little bit. And I said, is it insane there? She goes, well, we're actually having breakfast at Eataly, getting some, you know, cinnamon rolls or whatever. And she says, I haven't ventured out into the mall yet, but right now we parked pretty easily. And I don't think it's going to be too bad since we got here first thing. But
yeah, it's kind of fun, too. You get all the hustle and bustle of the holidays. North Park's always, or it's like decorated so pretty.
I kind of love it. And I know it's kind of a little posh tradition that we started a few years ago, but doing the Santa photos down at Neiman Marcus downtown. Oh, yeah. There's something about going to a downtown department store during the holidays and seeing the decorations and seeing the displays and the big Santa, you know, the area that they have Santa cordoned off. I don't know. There's just something kind of really special about that whole scene. And are you paying $150 for basically one 8x10? Yes, you are.
I think because it's like old timey, you know, the department store Santa, like you don't have that very much anymore. And I love that. And then you can compare all the pictures.
Yeah. And this was the first lady. Anna. Hi, Anna. And this was the first year that he didn't absolutely lose his bananas for Santa. The first 3 years, it's always him just, you know, bawling, going crazy. And this was the first one where he wouldn't sit in his lap still. And he socially distanced from Santa. He was about 3 feet away from Santa, just kind of standing there, but he was smiling. So.
Oh, good.
Maybe next year. Maybe next year he'll sit on the big man's knee. We'll see.
Right. Yeah. Oh, that's so fun. Anna, you like seeing Santa, right?
Yes.
How many Santas have you seen this Christmas?
1,000.
How are there 1,000 of them?
What? Santa goes to different places.
Yeah. He's all over the place. He's magical like that, right?
So magical.
Uh-huh. And we've got the elf coming every night.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
What's your elf on a shelf's name?
What's your elf here? Talk to Danny.
Hi, sweetheart. How are you? What's your elf on a shelf's name?
Buddy.
Buddy? Ours is named Romeo.
That's cute.
It is cute. Oh dear. We might as well peace out. I don't know. I wish Malcolm was here. I could just slap some headphones on him and just let them rule the day.
Okay, Anna.
What?
Did he say something to you?
No.
Okay, then say bye.
No.
Okay, Anna, then Anna. We'll do a combined mom game out, Danny, if you're ready. Are you ready?
Anna, can you do a double mom piece game out? You ready?
On count of three. Ready?
One, two, three.
Mom game out.
There she goes.
The Mom Game is proud to partner with local GEICO offices, Victoria Elliott, proudly serving your local community.